Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
The church. Everyone say church. How many of you love the church? How many of you believe the church is in the greatest days of its life? I'm not talking about Enjoy Church, although yes, it is true of Enjoy Church. I'm talking about the church. The church is in the greatest and the most exciting days of its life and in the most exciting days in history. If you believe it, give God praise right about now, because God is doing incredible things. These are the most exciting and the greatest of days, no doubt about that. But can I also say to you, church, that these are also the most dangerous days for the church. Dangerous days. Yes, they are exciting. Yes, it is all wonderful, but these are also very dangerous days. And I say dangerous in that when a good thing becomes the thing, it quickly becomes the wrong thing. All right. I'll say it this time forward. All right. When a good thing becomes the thing, it quickly becomes the wrong thing. So what am I saying in regards to the church? This is what I'm saying. I love the church. These are the most exciting times. But when we begin to put our reliance on it and our dependence upon the wrong things, how many of you know at the end of the day, it ain't going to work out? I love the church. I love what God has done in the Enjoy Church. I love this building. I love this. I love what the guys are able to do. I love the sound. I love the smoke machine. I love the latte machine. Praise God. How many of you know latte is the nectar of heaven and it flows from God above? I love it. Love it. Love it. I love our programs. I love our people. I love our departments and I love our courses. I love all of that. But how many of you know when we put our hope on these things, it's not going to end well? When we put our hope in these things, it will not end well. I want to speak to you today about a subject that when it's spoken about, all of heaven is rejoicing and looking in on it. And it's like, that's a big statement, I know. But I promise you this, when we begin to speak on this subject, all of heaven is looking in. When we begin to speak on this subject, all of hell begins to fear. All of hell is like, no, 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 don't go there. Don't go there. Don't bring, no, 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 no. We do not want you to go there. But how many of you know today, we're going there, we're going there, we're going there. Everyone say, we're going there. We're going there. The reason that heaven is fearful about this subject and the reason heaven rejoices over this subject is because when it begins to go from being a topic of discussion to a way of life, there's not only freedom for the carrier, but also for all that they carry this subject matter to. The matter of this subject cannot be contained, qualified, or quantified, certainly not like we'd like it to be able to. For we like to have an explanation for everything under heaven. Isn't that true? How many of you like to have an explanation for everything? You like to look like the learned one, the one that understands things. We like to have a level of knowledge, and we like to be appearing, have the appearance of being knowledgeable. It's like, well, look at that brother. He looks knowledgeable. And it's like we like to be able to sprout out wisdom and spread out knowledge and reveal our understanding. We love to have the appearance of being in control. How many of you are control freaks? Give me a wave. That's you. Praise God. 8 of you. How many of you believe your spouse is a control freak? That's funny. That's funny. It was exactly the same in the first service and in the north, exactly the same. People go like this. Whoop. It's like, control freak. As in, I'm not a control freak. I just like to be in control. When Mick and I play golf together, I don't know that you've ever driven. I'm not saying I'm a control freak. I should let you drive. Have you ever driven the golf cart? I've never let you. Don't feel bad, Mickey. Don't feel bad. There have been times when I've been vomiting and sick as a dog, and George is like, would you like me to drive? And I'm like, I'm not dead. I'm not dead. Control freak. I don't know that I'm a control freak, but there's part of me, and I think there's part of many of us, that actually likes to be in control. But friends, I want to say to you as we enter 2020, let go. Let go. Let God be in control. As in when God and I hop into the golf cart of Shaney Boy's life, the truth is when we hop in, typically I say to God, you drive. But somewhere along the line, somehow, I usually end up behind the steering wheel. I say to God, yes, you're in control. You take over. You take us where I need to go. But along the way, I take over. Friends, this is what I believe as we step into 2020. God wants the steering wheel back. God wants to light a fire so deep within our soul and so deep within our spirit that we actually lose control and he gains control. It's not a matter of us being overpowered. He ain't going to take it off you if you do not want to give it to him. But if you will surrender your life afresh to him and say, Lord, I can't do this, and you know as well as I do, you can't do it, I can't do it, we can't do it, but he can do it through us and he can do it in us if we will allow him to. God wants to start a fire that's so deep within us that everything that is of us is consumed and everything that is of him is refined. He wants us to go into the refining fire that he might have his way in us and through us. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. This is John the Baptist speaking. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with
fire.
And with
fire,
fire, fire, fire. There's a lot of parts of the church that don't talk about the fire of God. It separates people. It separates understanding. It separates doctrine. It separates our perspective of God and our perspective of heaven. But God wants to separate us unto himself through and by his fire, that a fire might burn so brightly within us that all of the world grows dim to us, and he is the one who is exalted, and he is the one who is exalted through our life, through our lives. Church, after 21 years, I've given you every good thought I've ever had. Every good thought. Truth is, I probably gave you every good thought I've ever had in the first 3 months. And then I've just repeated it. I've given you every good thought I've had. I've given you every good sermon I've had. Every good word I could come up with. I probably spoke them in the first year. And since then, we've just had it on replay, 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 replay. I've given you every good series I've ever been able to put together. There's probably been about 3 really good ones and then a whole lot of average ones. But we keep going back around the 3 good ones. I've given you everything. Every good thought, every good sermon, every good series. I've dressed it up. I've played dress-ups with it and tried to turn it around and give you a different look at the diamond from a different perspective and get a different facet of it. I've given you everything I've been able to give you from the Word of God that you might live a life in godliness and in Christ Jesus. I've given you it all. But can I say this? As good or as bad as all of that has been, without the fire of God, it matters not. Without the fire of God, it matters not. How many of you know the word without the Spirit is nothing but a dead letter? But it's the Spirit of God, it's the fire of God that causes it to come alive in us and through us, that it might actually do what it is meant to do. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost because it's a fire that'll separate us unto God and unto the purposes of God. In Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Like a violent rushing wind. We all want like a little Holy Ghost prayer time. Why don't we all hold hands in the presence of the Lord and just send up a prayer or two? I could pray for you and you could pray for me. We could hold hands in the presence of the Lord and just have a nice moment together. How many of you know when God enters the room, he's going to mess you up? When God enters the room, I'd encourage you, don't worry about doing your hair when you come to church, because when God enters the room, how many of you know there's going to be like a violent rushing wind? We got this perception or perspective that like when the Holy Spirit enters the room, it's going to be like a, what was that? I think that was God. Oh, where is he? Oh, there he is. No. When God enters a room, He's going to enter the room like a violent rushing wind. You're going to have your hair going everywhere. How many of you remember when Georgie jumped out of the airplane? Remember that? How many of you remember? I'm not talking about, she didn't, like, I wasn't driving her crazy and she said, "I'm out of here, Baxter." I'm not talking about that. No. It's like, No. How many of you remember we raised money for work we're doing in Cambodia? So as a missions expression and a fundraiser, Georgie jumped out of an airplane. She went tandem diving. And at the time, just so you know, because people still give me a hard time about it, they say, well, at least Georgie had the courage. Pastor Georgie had the courage to jump out of the airplane. Oh, as if I was lacking courage. Just so you know, this is my perspective. You know how it works around here. I am far more important to the ongoing life and health of the church. All I'm saying is if that chute did not open, I am far more important. You were thinking it, I said it. That's the only difference. Don't judge me now. Don't judge me. And if anybody tells Georgie, she's in Bendigo preaching today, if anyone says I said that, I will deny it. Take it from the tape. Take it off the tape. All right. But how many of you remember the footage of Georgie? So the guy that strapped her back, which was always a little bit awkward for me anyway, and it's like... Did I say that? I don't think I said it. I'm just awkward. It's like I don't like massages. I don't like Matt going to a massage. Now it's confession time. Why don't I like going? George is like, let's go get a massage. I'm like, I'm not going for no massage. She's like, why? And I'm like, because I might like it. And she's like, what are you talking about? You're meant to like it. I said, baby, if I'm laying half naked on a bed and some young woman's got her hands all over me, I don't want to like it. And she's like, well, we'll get a guy to it. There's guy masseurs. And I'm like, baby. I don't want to like it. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to like it. So, Georgie jumps out of the aeroplane and they've got this footage. This guy's got this footage. And it's like, how can anyone tell me, there's some scientists in the room, or my doctor anyway, and how fast do you fall when you fall from the sky? Can anyone tell me? Sorry? 8.8? 9.8. 9.8 meters per second. So how fast is that? Tell me, answer my question. Don't give me something. It's like, how fast do you fall from heaven? Well, the chicken will be ready at 3 o'clock. It's like, that's not the answer to the question. 200 feet a second. Well, you're not helping me either, sister. Praise God, but you're out of hospital, so that's a good thing. All right, so can anybody else tell me, like, let's just say very fast. It's like a violent rushing wind. Now, just so you know, like, I look at Georgie on that film, and she's got, like, rubber cheeks. You know what I'm talking about? As in, she's flying through the air and her face is doing this. It's out of control. It's like she's got 15 cheeks and they're all flapping at the same time. It's unbelievable. That is the day of Pentecost right there. That's what church should look like. Because the wind of God is so violent in the air that it's messing up our hair. You want to have a good hair day? Come to church. How many of you know you're meant to have hair going everywhere because you've been in the presence of God? You got all that for free as well, moving right along. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled. 120 of them, all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Before this event, there was no church. Before this event, there was only prayer meetings, 50 days of prayer meetings in a row. And then the Spirit of God fills the room like a violent rushing wind. All of a sudden there's fire, like what seemed to be tongues of fire, begin to fall on each of the people in the room. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues. But then this is where it gets so exciting. And this is really what it's all about. From that place, the church was birthed. Before the church became the church as we know it today, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus grabbed all of the disciples and he gathered them together. And Acts 1 verse 4, it says, gathering them together, he commanded them. He commanded them. This was not a suggestion. This was not an idea. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Everyone say, wait for it. But to wait for what the Father had promised. It's what Joel spoke about, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, you will receive power. Everyone say power.
Power.
How many of you would like some Holy Ghost power? How many of you realize you need Holy Ghost power? You cannot live this life the way God would have you live it or the way you desire to live it without the Holy Ghost power in your life. You cannot do it, my friends. You cannot do it. You will not overcome the enemy. You will not overcome temptation. You won't overcome yourself. We live in the flesh. We're not of the flesh. We live in the world. We're not of the world. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Sunshine and in St. Albans and in Caroline Springs and to the remotest parts of the earth, even all the way to Osaka, praise God. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the tongues of fire land on you, your head and set your heart ablaze, your spirit alight. That is when you're going to receive the power. Why? That we might stand in here all day laying hands on each other and prophesying each other? No, that we might do what they did in the book of Acts, which is rise up in faith, fall out into the streets, go out into the world and begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that many lost people might turn their hearts towards God. We see that's exactly what happened here. Up until this day, they're all meeting in the upper room. 120 of them, they listened to the Lord. Praise God. Point number one, 2020. Let's listen to the Lord. When he says, do not do that, we're not going to do that. But we are going to do what you tell us to do. As a result, when the Spirit came upon them, the fire of God came upon them, they received power and boldness. They stepped outside and they preached the gospel without favor or fear. And so it was that the church was birthed. Church, we don't necessarily need more programs at Enjoy Church. We don't necessarily need more courses or more departments at Enjoy Church. But I promise you what we all need, what you need, what I need, what my family needs, what your family needs, is the fire of God. We need the fire of God. Now, the reason that this whole subject is a dangerous one for the church, and many, many churches aren't going to preach this today. We're not going here. Last week, I basically spoke about sin. You know, there's many churches today will not even talk about sin. If we don't talk about sin, how do we know what Jesus has saved us from? It's from the power of sin. Just as many churches aren't going to go here, they won't go here. This subject is a dangerous one for the church. And the reason is because we live in a time where knowledge and intellectual discourse is celebrated and so highly esteemed. When you're in that wind tunnel of God, when you've got tongues of fire landing on your head, you may not look like the smartest person in the room, but I promise you this, you're getting the power of God that you need to live the life that God has got for you. You know as well as I do that all the intellectual discourse and dialogue in the world can't break the power of sin or the spirit of death that wants to suffocate the spirit of life out of you or out of your family, out of your dreams and out of your future. So am I saying, Shane, are you against growing ourselves intellectually and gaining knowledge and insight and doctrine and theology? No. Please don't hear that's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Continue to better yourself. Continue to press on. Gain knowledge. Gain understanding. Grow in wisdom. And get yourself educated. Do all you can to grow yourself. I'm saying absolutely do all of that. Just understand that if you hold a lamp in your hand, and there is no fire in the lamp, there is no light in the room. The light comes from the fire, not from the lamp. The lamp, we have our doctrine, we have our theology, we have our intellect, we have our wisdom, we have all of that. Praise God for all of that. But that by itself, it can't help anybody. You know as well as I do. The world, there's this thing called IT, that information, it travels the whole world. The world has never been smarter, but the world has never been in more trouble. If information and knowledge could save the world, we would all be saved by now. But the world has never been in a more terrifying state, as far as the whole world is upside down. Why? Because it has information, but it doesn't have the knowledge to translate the information into the wisdom of God. Therefore, it lacks. Friends, what we need more than anything is the fire of God, the person of God, the power of God. Because when we've got that, when we've got the fire, we can take light everywhere. You know what our universities need? They need the fire, because they need the light. Otherwise, they just have information. They just have knowledge. It ain't going to help at the end of the day. Our hospitals, they need the fire. They need the light of God. Our families, my family, it needs the fire of God. Your family, it needs the fire of God. We need to be able to take the light of Christ everywhere we go. So what am I saying as the worship team come? I'm saying this, church, please hear me. I wish I could, you know, as a pastor, it's a very privileged position. But I got to tell you, sometimes I'm left wanting. I wish I could save all of you. I wish I could do it for you. I wish I could make decisions for you. Now you're saying, praise God, you can't. And you know what? So am I in some ways, because it's not actually meant to be that way. You've all heard me say, my heart is my responsibility and your heart is your responsibility. My fire is my responsibility. Your fire is your responsibility. I know this, if you'll burn with a fire that comes from heaven in your heart, your life will go from strength to strength and from glory to glory. If there's a fire that is burning, we won't need to worry about you backsliding or sinning or going off and doing it. No, because the fire is going to keep calling and drawing and leading. When you've got a fire, and you all know exactly what I'm saying as I say this, you all know as well as I do, when the fire is hot, isn't it the most joyful place to be? Just warming yourself around the presence of God, the person of God, the fire of God. But when the fire grows cold, isn't it true that you long for those moments? Where is that moment? The reason we long for it is because that is our connection to God. That is our connection to the Spirit. It's in His presence that you find His power. And it's in the person of God that you find the presence of God and you find the power of God. And it's in His presence that the fire comes and the fire comes. I want to burn brighter in 2020 than I've ever burned before. I got, as I go into 2020, I got to tell you, I got some stuff. It's like, I'm believing for so much, but I feel so inadequate. What is going to get me to the place that God has already put in my heart? Only His fire, His power, His presence. And He wants to take you from wherever you're sitting today all the way into the fulfillment of every dream that He's put in your heart. Friends, I want to encourage you today. We need the fire of God. We need the fire of God. If you're feeling depressed or oppressed, you need the fire of the Holy Spirit. I promise you, I thank God for the medical fraternity, but there is nothing like the fire of God to burn us into a place, to consume us into a place, to refine us into a place where that stuff begins to fall off us. If you're here today and you've got an addiction, any addiction or a habit, and you know it's like, I'm trying to break this thing off me and I can't get the victory over it. You need the fire of God. You need the fire of God. I tell you the truth, there is no habit or addiction that has the ability to chain you and keep you chained in the fire of God. You watch the fire to burn those chains off. You'll be set free in an instant. I'm saying to you today, if you're in a marriage and your love for each other has grown cold, you need the fire of God together. Sometimes the best thing to do is together. We're going to do this together. It's hard to do it by yourself. I understand that. But if you're here in the room and it's like you're a husband and wife and it's like, yeah, we're still together, but it's not easy. Do it together. Step into the fire together. If you're here today and you've got children and they're growing up and you're concerned about them, you need the fire of God in your house. You need the fire of God in your house. You need to bring the fire of God in. Parents, can I encourage you? You cannot nag your children into the kingdom of God. All you need to do is make sure that you're on fire and let the fire catch them on fire. That's all you can do. You can't nag them. You don't think you can beat them up or make them what you want them to be. Like, I can't make you. You can't make them. We can't make each other. We're only responsible for ourselves. But when we are burning brightly, we can be an example for others to follow. I promise you this, it is attractive. It's attractive because a lot of people are like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers. I've tried it all. I've gone to this course, that course, got this knowledge, but at the end of the day, it ain't working. You need the fire of God. They need the fire of God. We need to burn so brightly that all the world knows that there is a God in heaven, a God in heaven. And if we will step into His fire, step into His space, His presence, then what's on Him is going to come upon us. No weapon, no chain, no name, no demon can stand before the fire of God.